Well, good morning, everybody. It's the Sunday after Easter, so I guess that'd put us around April 19th. I had a little bit of a technical difficulty earlier this morning. For some reason, I couldn't remember how to get it on camera. I kept it on. It was just taking snapshots of me. So as I'd go back and look and see what it looked like, it'd just be little clips of myself as if I was, in a photo booth. You remember those photo booths, you know, kids or you may have crowded into and put money into and then took photos of three or four people together. And so that's what I was getting at the time. I kind of changed my background since last time, added a little bit of lighting, and also took some advice to look into the camera more. That, of course, came from one of my daughters, said you didn't spend enough time looking at the camera. You spent more time looking down or away. So, and the lighting idea came from them as well. So they got me set up last night, so we're ready to go this morning. And appreciate you joining us. And again, here at Bible Way Church during this, some people call it a lockdown, some people call it a lock-in. But either way, it's social distancing, I guess, is what others say, and so we're not able to gather at church. I did notice it seemed like there's a few states that may be allowed, depending on what the governor says of those states, to resume services. I noticed that yesterday in the paper, and so I don't know, it may affect Tennessee at some point. What we don't want is just them opening, I guess, too early and this thing getting out of hand. So just leave it to the experts. This morning, if you'll turn in your Bible over to Philippians, we're going to look at about three places over in Philippians, but over in Scripture. They'll be over in Acts, examples of prayer. And during this time that we face as a nation, as individuals, as families, prayer is very important. Prayer is still important around the family, of course, around the dinner table, but also as we pray individually, find our prayer closets. But and not only around the dinner table, I mentioned that, but what I was going on to say too is as we pray together as a family, maybe throughout the day or during the day or however time together, to pray, and that's what we need now. And I was talking to a lady yesterday, and again, it was some distance, and again, further than 6 feet or whatever they recommend, and she wouldn't get any closer. But she made the comment that she remembers something similar in her days of growing up, and talked about how even in the days of other diseases when she was small, and she mentioned polio and a couple of others, where you kept your distance, and there were certain places you didn't go or certain things you didn't do, and then one day there was a vaccine, and that all changed. And so we can just pray that they find a vaccine or a treatment as well. And I know you get enough of that, COVID-19 and all the information we have. During the week, seems like you turn on the television, that's all it is, and if you're like me, you get tired of that. So enough of that. We'll look and see what the Scripture says today. And I think prayer is kind of where the Lord led us this week to look at, and that's how you get through any situation. And not only praying, but also praying for each other, as we do for individuals and for our family, but also for our pastor and for our church, that we might be able to return to services soon. Last week I went a little long, about 55 minutes, and I felt like that's too much for a video to try to watch, so I'm going to try to cut it down, keep it a little shorter this time, so bear with me. I say that, and I'll probably go over 55 minutes this time, but just a couple things. If you'll turn over to Philippians, chapter 4, I might have already mentioned that. We'll look right here at what the Scripture says this morning. I've got some notes written, but from last week, we looked at, I guess, the worldview and maybe read over in Matthew about the wars and rumors of wars. So we looked at more of the natural progression, I guess, of what we see every day. And I hesitate to use the word natural, but that it seems like that that's what we have grown accustomed to, is the wars that we have, and again, rumors of wars or something new starting, or we looked at the global economy, how everybody's kind of came together. We looked at, political rumors that you hear and political foes, and how politics come into play, and it's just not politics of our nation, but it's world politics. And we looked at how all that's tied together, and in our lifetime we were able to look back more so than any other generation and see how these things have unfolded. And again, we looked at pestilence and disease, and again, I guess that would fall as much or probably more under, I guess, natural, events that we can think of. As I said, there may have been someone back in 1917, 1918 during the flu pandemic that taught a Sunday school class that was similar and said, hey, look, we got all these things going on. And then, like I said, they just had World War One, then had World War Two, then had the Korean War, Vietnam, et cetera. And it may have been a person teaching then and said the same thing. And so then during that, I mentioned that you can see where all the scoffers come from, and that the scripture talks about scoffers and people that will laugh and make fun of people that go to church and say, well, there's nothing to that. Why don't you still go? Things still continue the way they were. Nothing's ever changed. You're wasting your time, et cetera. So scripture even points that out. We went over to Peter and looked at that. And that's even the case that you have now. I know even this week, there was a governor of one of the states that made the comment that, he named off three or four things that it wasn't the reason that they had success or seeing the numbers decline that they've had. And I forget what they all were. But one of them, he says, it wasn't God. I thought, boy, what a foolish statement to make. And what he did, he put all the emphasis, which they deserve so. They've been working hard on just the hard work of the staff of people in the health care that they had and their hard work. In other words, he placed it on man's shoulders, the reason why they'd had the success they'd had, and gave God no credit and actually took it away. But that was a statement I saw this week on the news, and I thought, boy, I'd hate to be in his shoes and make that statement, but he did, and that's up to him. But I say that because you get people, again, that falls right into that scoffers in the last days. And don't forget, we looked at when the church is raptured out, how quick that would be, to be in a twinkling of an eye. And we also talked about a little bit about in Acts 1 about how Christ would return. It's in like manner as he left, he rose up through the clouds. Of course, two men appeared, and the angels asking the men there of Galilee, why they look up, why are they gazing up, that he would come again. And of course, I'm paraphrasing there, but he would come again in like manner. So we've got something to be excited about and something to look around. In these times, sometimes it's hard to do that, difficult to do that, especially if you have a sick loved one or if you're in the house yourself and you're sick or been sick. It's tough to always keep that positive attitude. But this morning, let's look and see what the scripture says. Over in Philippians 4, and I wanted to read one other thing to you to kind of help you through the week. Someone had sent this to me before, and I think it's got some good little tidbits in it, but I ran across this and I just wanted to share this with you. So this is just a side note. It kind of goes along with the lesson because it the purpose of it, and it's from Thomas Jefferson, something he had written in a letter to his grandson. And I think it's good advice for us, especially as Christians, and as others watch our lives and our conversation. And so let me read this to you. And again, I'll try to make it brief, and we'll get right into the lesson. But again, it goes along with it because I think it keeps us, focused if you keep these things in mind. And when I say focused is that, again, there's still a God. We're still have responsibilities. And just because we're not physically going to the church, we can still be a representative. And let me let's listen to this as he speaks to his grandson. Be a listener only. Keep within yourself and endeavor to establish with yourself the habit of silence, especially on politics. In the fevered state of our country, no good can ever result from any attempt to set one of these fiery zealots to rights, either in fact or principle. In other words, to argue with somebody who's got a fiery attitude or fiery zealot to rights, either in fact or principle. They are determined as to the facts they will believe and the opinions on which they will act. So a very determined person. So what Thomas Jefferson is telling his grandson is develop or establish a habit of silence in those cases. Oh, and then I tell you later on, one of the comments that he made too as well is teach your children to be silent. You don't have to teach them to speak. And that was, I thought, something neat. But anyway, let me go back. Be a listener only. Keep within yourself and endeavor to establish with yourself the habit of silence, especially on politics. In the feverish state of our country, no good can ever result from any attempt to set one of these fiery zealots to rights, either in fact or principle. They are determined as to the facts they will believe and the opinions on which they will act. Get by them, therefore, as you would by an angry bull. It is not for a man of sense to dispute the road with such an animal. And that was Thomas Jefferson to his grandson. It says, get by them, therefore, as you would by an angry bull. It is not for a man of sense to dispute the road with such an animal. So just a comment there from Thomas Jefferson this morning. That I thought was neat, that from a book someone had sent me when I was down in Houston, and just some comments made by, I guess, our founding fathers, that I guess just words of wisdom this morning. All right, we'll get right into the Sunday school hour. I notice it's already around coming close to 15 minutes, and so let me get started. And so we'll look over in Philippians 4 and say that we'll just go straight on to verse number 6. It said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And of course, verse number 8, I always like to read, I do, and that's kind of how we keep our thoughts together. It said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And it kind of gives us an idea how we need to think, keep our minds going at this time, because we can get our minds off on so many different things that we need to think on these things of God. And you know, that verse comes back to mind a lot during the day. And especially when maybe I'm not thinking the way I should be. But what we want to look at this morning is verse number 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything but prayer and supplication. And then supplication, of course, means earnestly, means humbly. So by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We're going to look at three places this morning in the Bible where that occurred, and then the results that they had. And so kind of encourage us to continue to pray for the country, continue to pray for one another, continue to pray for the church, and of course, when I say one another, I mean our families, as well as individuals that may be ill at this time. So let's look and see. The first one we'll look at is, and it will be all in Acts. Let's go to Acts chapter 12. Let's see if we would here this morning. Right. I can find, I think it was 12, chapter 13, or chapter 13, Acts chapter 12, verse number 13 is what I want to get to. But I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is, of course, when Herod had killed James. He's in prison, Peter. Peter's in prison, and he wants to get out, of course, and leave. And, of course, the church is praying for him. And when I'm talking about him getting out and leaving, that's when he notices he's sleeping and an angel comes to him. And let's read verse number 6. And when Herod would have brought him forth in the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So he's pretty well locked up. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Rise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." So the angel told him, "Get dressed, put your shoes on. We're going out, we're leaving this place." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So he thought he was seeing things, or actually he thought he was dreaming at the time. When they went past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, all the expectation of the people of the Jews." Here's where I wanted to get to in these next couple of verses. And we had considered the thing, and came into the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And we've talked about this before, where there were a group, or what you would, I guess, consider to be like a prayer service they were having for Peter, because they thought he was going to be killed the next day. And Peter knocked at the door of the gate, and as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with a hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. He said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. And I'll stop reading there, but what I wanted to go back to is that, and they said unto her, "Thou art mad." She believed. The others thought she was mad, even though they were praying. And I always like this when I read this in Scripture. Even though they were praying earnestly, it said, and as we already looked in prayer and supplication, I'm sure they were wanting Peter to be released, or something miraculous to be done, or someone to step in and stop Herod from killing Peter. And in which that occurred, as they prayed, it's almost like they weren't trusting or believing what they were praying. But it took a servant girl, Rhoda, who recognized his voice and knew he was at the gate. And rather than even open it, she was so excited that she went back to tell him, said, "Hey, he's right outside." And they told her, said, "You got to be mad." And then the next thing they thought was, "Well, it's still not him, it's his angel." And so they did not believe. But as Peter continued knocking, I thought about that. How long did he have to stand out there and knock? You're knocking. I was thinking about knocking on a wooden door. He finally said, "Are they ever going to come answer this door?" So I know this servant girl, she came, she saw me, but no one else is showing up. What's going on? But at that time, that's an example of where sometimes I think we may pray, and we're saying the words, but do we believe them in our heart? Do we believe that's what's going to happen? Do we believe that's what God's going to do? And Rhoda had no doubt. I don't know if she was joined in the praying or if she just heard the others praying for Peter. But when she saw him, she believed. And she didn't think about it being an angel. She just knew it was Peter. She was excited. And your prayer had been answered. So, amen for that. So that's just an example with prayer and supplication. I guess things happen. That's what we saw there with Peter. Let's move on this morning without delay. Let's go over to Acts chapter 10. And it'd be a little lengthy, but I want to skip around because I don't want to spend the whole time. Again, we're trying to keep our time under a certain amount. Don't want to get too long. But, there was a time when Peter thought that the preaching was to the Jews only, not to the Gentiles. And that's what we get into here in Acts chapter 10. But there's a certain man named Cornelius who we're going to look at here. So we'll skip around some of the verses as we read, as we look into the scripture and see what happened in his life. And again, that's due to a prayer and what it produced. And we've got something, that's a very powerful weapon. You think about the scripture that we have in the Bible and how dear it is to us. And I know some of you, if you travel, that's one of the first things you pack or you take with you, you make sure you have. Of course, today we have the internet, and then people just, they have, a Bible. They just can, a Bible app on their phone or a Bible app on the computer so they can pull up and they can find scripture. It's as quick as they want to, but and follow that through, and that leads, and you can click on it, and it takes you somewhere else in the scripture that mentions something similar, etc. We've never had such access to, study scripture or look into the things of God as we do now. Technology serves us well in that respect when studying or when reading the Bible or wanting to, if you're looking at Scripture, you want to track a certain word or see how many times a word occurs in Scripture. Today, it's so easy just to find out that information. And but still, you go back to, I don't want to say a simpler time, but a time when you just can't get as much out of it as if you're reading it yourself. And again, you can read it online, but taking the Scripture with us is one of the things we do. And I mention that because Cornelius seemed to be a man who, again, he's going to be a Gentile. He's not a Jew. But he seemed to take the Scripture with him. Or he believed Scripture. He believed what God had said. He believed on God. He believed what had happened. And he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And so let's look here and see what. And again, I'm going to skip around because chapter 10 is many verses. But there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. And here's what I was getting to, a devout man, one that feared God. In other words, I picture him as someone who, if they took a trip, they would have taken their Bible with them or their Word of God with them if they'd had that at the time. Said, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. There's that prayer again, pray to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. In other words, the time you spent in prayer and in alms, it's not went unnoticed. He said, God has noticed that. In other words, God knows. And now send men to Joppa and call from one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And during that time, vision, Lord works two ways. You know, I've always heard that's a two-way street, and he works on both sides. I guess what I'm saying when I say both sides is Cornelius needed Peter, and so he'd already appeared to Cornelius and told him, this is what you need to do. You need to send these people down for this man called Peter. But at the whole same time, what God was doing, he's working on Peter too, saying, Peter, you're going to have these men come visit you, and they're going to be Gentiles, and I want you to go down with to them. I want you to go down and preach to them. And so if you look through verses 9, 10, 11, 12, and you go on through, that's what you see, especially on down through 16, 17. And even get to verse number 19, it says, while Peter thought on this vision, or thought on the things that he had seen, or thought on the things God had told him, the Spirit, and of course that's capital S, the Holy Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. So while he was doing that, the men that Cornelius had sent, that Peter was told were coming, they showed up. It's kind of like Rhoda, you know, when they were praying for Peter to be released, and they, you know, and again, when they were praying, and I'm that way sometimes, I'm not blaming them, or getting on them, because we're the same way today. Sometimes when we pray, do we believe, or when we're praying, that something's going to change, or we're just speaking words sometimes. I hate to say it that way. Now, I don't know another way to say it. You know, do we sometimes maybe let our thoughts get away from us when we're in prayer? And that's why we talk about that prayer closet. And sometimes it takes not only just 5 minutes, sometimes to sit down and get ready to pray or to pray, but it might take 30 minutes or an hour, however long, to get ready to pray so you can get in the state where you can pray and pray earnestly or humbly. And I guess that's going back to Rhoda, but anyway, I say that here because it doesn't seem like that's what happened. As of course the angel appeared to Cornelius, of course Peter's been spoken to as well, and all of a sudden these men knock at the door. Peter, unlike Rhoda, or much like Rhoda, accepted that at the time and said, well, wait a second, I was told this. But anyway, I'm getting off track there just a little bit. But arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And so he began to ask him, said, why did you come seek me? And of course, they began to tell him about Cornelius, being a centurion, and I talk about it. Verse number 22, a just man, and one that feareth God, and a good report among all the nation of the Jews, I was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear the words of thee. In other words, he's been asking you to come preach for him. And as we go through and we look, Peter meets Cornelius in Caesarea. What Peter finds when he gets there, of course, Peter takes a group of men with him. And I've always thought and always heard preach this way. So one reason why he did is because at the time, again, Peter preached to the Jews. And you know, we always heard that the Jews require a sign, and so he took some other Jews with him as witness to see that as he preached to the Gentiles, and as Gentiles that were saved and believed on God, he had other Jews who were believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God and had been saved, to also be witnesses to that and say, yes, that really occurred. And in that way, it's just not Peter himself, but he took a group of, I guess, which would be witnesses or men with him. So as they appear, and of course, they meet Peter in his house, and I go to that because Peter's house is full of people as well. Not Peter, Cornelius' house is full to hear Peter preach as well. And so let's look therefore and said, therefore, came unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. This is Peter talking, verse number 29. Said, I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting unto this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. I said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. In other words, it's well done. Glad you're here. And he was told that, again, that he said he was praying in his house, and behold, a man stood before him in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prior prayer is heard. And went on times to tell Peter that then I was told to send for thee. And he said, immediately, therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. My eyes are kind of getting, give me just a second there. I had a tissue here close by, I did before, but kind of getting a little foggy on me. Give me just a second. Because as I read this, I think about how, I guess, important removing this is. If you think about the depth of it, is what Peter is saying, you know, when he makes his statement. Because when he says this, this includes us and all the other Gentiles and all the other nations. Nations we talked about last week, the global economy. These natural disasters, these natural occurrences, these pestilences, these political views, political arguments, all that. It comes down to this, and then each individual, no matter what they say, whether they believe God has something to do with their efforts and during this time of I guess, being isolated, or if it's due to man, as they tried to say themselves, but we know that it's God and as of God. But what Peter's talking about here, though, is eternal life. It's eternal life. I had, sorry about that, had begin to run down my nose from my eye, and I had to wipe my eyes and my nose. Pardon me for having to do that. I had to get that out of there. I couldn't see with my eyes. He'd watered up. So let me read it again. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which is published throughout all of Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. And so from that point on, of course, Peter went on and preached in Cornelius' house, and Cornelius was saved, and several others were saved as well. And from that point on, and of course, then we think about Paul going on and preaching to the Gentiles, and of course, Peter did as well, and the other apostles did as well. But that's one area where you can look about prayer and supplication and being answered. So we all wrote to the little servant girl who went and told him, said, hey, your prayers have been answered. And Peter's right outside at the door. And but yet they kind of doubted at first until they saw him. Then he thought it was an angel. And I've said that before. And I probably would have been the same way. He'd just go back and shut the door again and say, oh, that's just his angel. We're all seeing visions. We've been up too long. And Peter continued to knock. And aren't you glad that that day you were saved, when you were saved, that God continued to knock on your heart, continued to knock. Let me in, let me in. And so when you look at Cornelius, and again I read that from Peter, when Peter preaches to the Gentiles, he's saying this to everybody. It's everybody in the world that would hear and believe. And so last but not least, we got one more place, and I'm at 30, I think, around 35 minutes, so that gives us enough time to do this one. If you'll just kind of keep me in line here. Of course, I guess I'm talking as if I've got a room full of people, and I'm here by myself. A little daylight has came in now, and so that's helped with the lighting, and I'm thankful for that, and that was a good idea that my children have, that I actually moved where I was doing the class, and that provided a little more light. Let's look here. I had a place written down. I'm trying to remember where it was. Let's see, Acts, was it Acts 16? Let me look and see. This morning. Yeah, it was concerning Lydia. That's what I wanted to look at. And before I got there, I wanted to point out that the church was facing persecution and being persecuted at this time. And, of course, that started being occurring around the time of Paul. And even before that, you had the persecution. You can go back and read. But talking about Paul, and of course, Paul and Barnabas is right before that in chapter 15. You can go back and look at chapter 15, too, talking about the council at Jerusalem and referring to that Jesus Christ or the Lord Jesus Christ is being preached. And it's also only being preached to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And that's made mention of as well. But so we'll go back, and I say that because Lydia, at the time that she saved, is a time where she disregarded that. I guess to follow the things of God then as well, she would have been in a time where to do that, she knew that there may be persecution, or then it may not have been the easiest thing to do, I guess is what I'm trying to say. In other words, if you were going to church today and you knew that there's a possibility of going away, maybe people were standing out with signs protesting, maybe there had been something put in the newspaper about someone that or people that went to church. And what I'm saying is back in that day, they didn't have that, but I'm just saying that, trying to put that into perspective for today. You know, it'd be a discouragement. Say, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. I've heard this, I've heard that. It seems like that the council of the Jews or which what we've followed or I guess the letter of the law is against his preaching, is against these men. Is it really true? Is it something that's going to come to pass? Or, you know, but Lydia, she believed. And let's get to what she believed. And that's what I wanted to share with you about Lydia. Of course, we had Rhoda, who was so excited. Had the people in the prayer room who, that's nothing. She's an angel. She's at the door. Peter kept knocking. After that, of course, we go back and we look at Cornelius, who was one who was dedicated and continually prayed and offered up alms. Of course, he was heard. Of course, Peter came to his house, and we talked about that just briefly. Now let's look at Lydia, though, who during a time that, if you begin to look, the church is really starting to get persecuted and really starting to be made known publicly that they're being persecuted, or the Jews are after them, or they want them to stop preaching. And especially, you know, we talk about Paul and Barnabas. Well, right after this, you can read about the imprisonment, actually in the same chapter, at Philippi, and of course Paul and Silas. But let's look here at Lydia. Said Lydia's she's saved. She's been led to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And said therefore, this is Acts chapter 16, verse number 11. Said therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day to Neapolis. I tell you what, I'm about to get me a Bible with larger print, larger words, or I might get some glasses that really bring things into focus, because the words are sometimes more as difficult as they are anyway to pronounce. You want to try to get them as close as you can, but when they tend to, you have to move your head further back to see them, and so we got as close as we can there, but it looks like they were traveling. At the time, and of course, this is Paul, and from thence to Philippi, which is in the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony where we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And there we go again with prayer. That's what we started with, prayer and supplication be made. And let your, as Cornelius did, and as we look and as we think about our prayer and our prayer life, there was one other thing I wanted to look at there. It just come to mind. If you'll just bear with me, and then we'll be finished right up this morning. Like I said, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, as we've already looked at a couple examples this morning, we're going to look at the third example. But verse number 7 is what I wanted to add here, and how Lydia's life was changed. I just couldn't quote it. I wanted to get it exactly right. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And that's something I hope you remember as we finish up the lesson this morning. And that just came to me to mention that, because I didn't want to forget that, because that's the way Lydia's life went on after that. And I'm sure Cornelius and his family, they did as well. And, of course, others in the church there, in the early church with Peter. But especially with Lydia, and let me get to it. And said, where prayer was wont to be made. And, of course, that's mentioned. It's talking about customarily made or wanted to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women, which resorted thither. In other words, there was an area where it was a custom for people to go down and pray in that area, and down by the riverside. And so that's where they went that morning. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized in her household, so there again, much like Cornelius, says when she was baptized in her household. And so it doesn't go back and tell us anything. Were they with her? Or did she go back as the woman at the well and tell them what Peter or what Paul had told her? And she was a witness to them. And then they were saved and they were baptized. And we're not told that there, but sometimes I guess speculation was she by herself? And then she was saved and went back home and said, hey, you got to come back with me and hear this man. Or were they already there with her? But either way, she was a witness. And when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of deviation met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Of course, I always say, and add this, especially in Lydia's case, we're down by the river. It's a place where they tend to meet regularly. And we're talking to other women there. And, of course, Lydia and her household's been saved. But look who else is there, and look who else shows up. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of deviation met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying, or by, I guess, trying to... at the time, I think about reading palms. I was trying to think of a term, fortune telling. That's what I was looking for. You remember, if you recall, I've told you before, that's one of the few things that as I travel, if I run across somebody who's, you go by and sometimes they have that palm up in the front yard, and it's painted red, and says, you can pull in and park, and they'll read your palms. I always try to get on the far side of the road as that as I can. People laughed at me for years for that, but I said, I don't want any part of that at all. And so that's what she was doing here, much the same. She was fortune-telling, and that's what I couldn't recall. So the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. In other words, they were trying to confuse or corrupt what Paul had done and what had been done, what had been said. So I take it from that that not only Lydia had listened and heard the preaching, and again, could have been her family as well, or she could have brought her family back or been the witness to them. That we don't know. But there had to be others around. And we're told that up at the top, because it said, unto the women which resorted thither. Well, there may have been men around too that listened to the preaching. So there were a larger group of people here than I think what's described. But that's not the point. It's just saying what they were doing is they were continuing to confuse or corrupt the people. That was what they were trying to do. In other words, the devil always tries to come in and says, hey, look, gives a 99% truth. And as here, he's trying to say, well, Paul can preach, and he's preaching salvation in Jesus Christ, and he was crucified. But these men came in here and trying to make money off of it. Again, trying to corrupt what Paul was doing, trying to corrupt the Word of God. And you always have that. And even, as I said, prayer was answered, because as Lydia had prayed herself, and she went down to pray, and she'd done that more than once. So let me finish up here, because what I want to say to this is, and that's why I wanted to wrap up with Lydia. In our lives, even as we pray, we face obstacles. We face not someone that may be fortune telling, but there may be obstacles that come up in our lives. And let me finish up here. And I spent too much time. Sure, went ahead and read verse number 18. Let me read 17 again. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, who are showing us the way of salvation, confusing and corrupting. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, into the rulers. And I won't go on reading further. That's when they, of course, get imprisoned at Philippi. But here they went down to the riverside. People were praying. It's a normal place where they would go. Lydia heard the gospel. She was saved. She said her family was saved. She asked them to come in to her house and to stay. And at the same time, all this was going on. Of course, there was someone over to the side telling fortunes or trying to make money and trying to use this young lady as a method for, and as we're told there in verse number 19, is our gains. But, of course, Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, of course, the Spirit, small s, which was in the young lady, I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And, of course, when they saw that they no longer could make money with this young lady, and that spirit that of deviation or fortune-telling was gone, and here's another example of God's working in someone's life that changed that completely. And when it says damsel, in verse number 16, I think this must have been a young person. I don't think about someone as when I say think damsel that been older up in years, and he could have been. But more was just using someone, again, to make gains. And of course, when they saw they lost their money, of course, the first thing they did was cry foul and want the Jews to come and put them in prison. But again, Lydia's life. A certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. And so, again, I guess that's about what I have this morning. I hope that's been a blessing to you to go back and look at the early church, to go back and look as I close my Bible here, to go back and look at their prayer life, prayer and supplication. We, of course, pray earnestly, and from as we ask for the things of God and things of the Lord, as we pray that we need. And when I say that, I don't mean things that we need like I need a new car or I need a new house, but things which help us get through the day. That help us, I guess, spiritually, are the things that we need. And just like, again, being away from church, there's something about being away from Sunday school, being away from a group that we'll be able to worship with each other. And those are just things that seems like that we need. We need to grow in Christ. And for this short period of time, those things are seem like not available to us, and we're again doing all this online, and thank God for the technology. Think about if this has happened 10 or 15 years ago, not sure we've been able to do this and wouldn't have had anything. So hope the lesson's been a blessing this morning, and just keep praying. Keep looking up, as we heard last week, and I guess this week we just keep praying and keep trucking right along and keep, again, trusting in the Lord. Hope you have a wonderful day. I look forward to the service this morning. I'm going to close it out and see if I can't upload this video. Thank you for listening.